right, so listen. So listen. I know it's late. I know it's a weeknight. So I'm going to make this quick enough. I'm going to give you about 20 minutes. I don't know, tonight, I said elsewhere, felt like I was holding in a sneeze. A lot of stuff happened tonight on the Tuesday night broadcast. A lot of stuff happened that I think maybe some people didn't even see. But I would like to talk about it just for a little bit. Then I want to answer some questions that I didn't get around to. I want to at least do that. Okay? So I wanted to at least do that. I hope everybody's hearing me okay. Seems like everything's going on. Frankly, excellent. Welcome back, says Lenny. Thanks for the call before, Lenny. Dustin, Monday. It's Monday? Shit. That's it. Don't hold it against me. Don't hold it against me. But I wanted to get some stuff out of the way because I think what happened tonight was pretty significant. And I just want to say to everybody out there, I've gotten a couple of people who have gone as far as telling me, you know, hey, man, it just hurts your credibility having people like David Seaman on, and or one person told me, hey, Frank, I love you, but if you bring somebody on like him again, I think that's it. I'd hate to lose you. I really would. But you got to do what you got to do. And I'm going to lay out a really, just want to lay some thoughts out, because I had some time to collect my thoughts because there was other broadcasts going on over here. So as far as my credibility goes and how talking to anybody would hurt my credibility, it doesn't. And I'll tell you why. Because I've always delivered the same thing over and over again. It's a diverse show. Okay? And I was telling someone before on Twitter that it's why I've always had a very large variety of guests. Even before anybody even knew what the hell was going on, for a variety of topics, too. For a variety of topics, too. That's the big thing. That's the big one right there. And a lot of them are non-political. I think on Friday night, I'm finally going to introduce you to my mom's friend, Tony. He's just a blast from the past. You know? Awesome stuff. But remember, this is not a news show. That's the most important thing to remember, I think, as we go throughout all this stuff. It's not a news show. And, you know, we discuss the news with each other, but if you're looking for journalism, this show is only going to frustrate you. So that's the other thing you have to put out there. Now, I had a satanic satanic church high priest on not too long ago. Okay? I bring him on every, like, at least once a year. Brian Werner comes on and mixes it up a little bit. And boy, oh boy, do people have opinions. But okay, I'm still serving it up to you, whatever. My buddy Alex comes on from the Pentagon. He gets torched by people all the time. You think I'm going to stop bringing him back? It's always interesting. And people get fired up. Going to put you guys to sleep? Talk about the same shit every night from the same point of view? I've had World War II vets on here and magicians and right down to just holiday broadcasts with my parents. Okay, so if you come here and you come back here and you found this show, then it probably means that you enjoy that certain type of unfamiliarity, that uncomfortability, if that's even a word, that discomfort, I guess I should have said, whatever, and that you like the variety. But read body language. That's the one thing I would say. You'll know what if I'm like agreeing with someone or I'm just taking them in or whatever, or if I'm just putting a conversation together. It's always happened. The other thing is there too. Now, you might be saying, Frank, why are you explaining yourself? You never do this. It's leading to something. Trust me. Just want to talk about this a little bit because it leads to something even bigger that you might have missed. Some people probably haven't, but many did because I almost missed it and I was in the middle of it. If you say, and that's what was bugging me so much. I wanted to know why tonight's show affected me so much because it was just so odd. Like something had to be, in some sense had to be made because I didn't know what was going on at times. But I was also told I'm giving a platform to somebody that's, you know, below somebody else's standards or whatever the hell it is. If you say that, that's giving a platform to a bad idea. Well, if their ideas are bad and you think they're shit, then why would giving a platform to a bad idea help the bad idea more than it would expose the bad idea? That's what I want to know. You know, bad ideas only flourish when there's no disagreement around, when everybody agrees on what they're doing, okay? Sunlight is the best disinfectant. So, and we always have time for meaningful response. That's the best part about it. You think that the guest has no credibility? I always take calls. You know? Sometimes I even tie up a thought. Like, sometimes I'll even tie up a thought on a Thursday night show, and the thought had begun, first been broached on the show on a Monday. You know, sometimes it'll give us an entire week to just bounce things around, and that's what it is. So if someone like David Seaman comes on and talks to us for 25 minutes, and it creates about an hour of response time and analysis and taking calls, I think that's a great thing. Now, to say I'll lose credibility for doing the only thing I've ever done doesn't make any sense to me. And plus, I have one more big point to drop on you. And this is the point that I was telling you that even I almost missed. And that's why I had to reflect on it. Why is this so, you know, what did I miss here? Why was this such an odd experience having David on and having everything that just happened in that interview go down? Number one, I know audiences like big gotcha moments in an interview, especially an interview of such high-strung a topic. If we're discussing Shakespeare and literature, and we have a different thing, and what there's nothing really at stake there. But we're talking about things of gargantuan proportions here. We're talking about control of the planet. We're talking about, you know, the human capital. It's such a big topic. You know, it's of certain consequence. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't look for gotcha moments, but sometimes you do just stumble upon them. And that's why I think honest interviews and conversations are interesting. You never know what you're going to find there. Sometimes you just smell a rat, and other times you just go where the conversation leads and boom, every once in a while there's a gem, you know? Or it's just a cordial conversation. It just happens. But I was very quiet and very confused, if you didn't notice. I noticed it because I was watching myself from like the outside. I was on the outside of myself looking at all this and going, "What? Where the hell do we go next?" But you need to understand the reason why I've been leading up to all of this and giving you some background is because I want you all to understand where I was coming from as a host, okay? As an audience member, everybody at home, you don't have the entirety of the production on your shoulders. You're at home, you're enjoying yourself, you're enjoying the end product to whatever degree you can, you're interacting to whatever degree you can, but it's a lot less involved for you guys as it is for me. I'm sitting here with a guest for whom I wrote an entire show around. And 4 weeks ago, David was toasting champagne and declaring that the war had been won. You know, there's so many covert and overt, you know, hot and cold wars being waged right now. It was like the end of days of human trafficking networks, or at least a big judgment day, a big reckoning was coming. He saw indictments and vindication was tasting sweet, you know? He even said that a chemtrail program was decommissioned worldwide. Now, I know a couple of people have commented subsequently and said, hey, you know what? Not for nothing, you know, David this, David that, but I have been noticing that the cross-thatching in the skies around me, they've been a lot less in the last couple of months. People have been saying that, but for the most part, if you're just going back to what we were listening to in that interview, I mean, that's some interesting stuff. You know, that's a pretty big story, especially if it can be verified. So if I'm over here with you guys and we're having this conversation about a big story, and we either verify what or are able to get close to verifying what David Seaman was saying a month ago, or if we can debunk something as well, that's a pretty interesting story. You can be a part of that journey as well. You know, sometimes a debunking is just as compelling as a verification. And I wanted to find out more about, like I said, the enormity of the story that he was telling a month ago was huge. That's why I wanted him on immediately. I wanted to poke around with his sources. I wanted to poke around with his information, you know, see where we go with it and see what adds up. And what did we get? What did we get? Before I can even start the interview, he got on and reversed 180 degrees on everything. Pretty much admitted his frustration with the whole thing as well. And sees that sees all this as proof that nothing will really change, and that as far as the chemtrails things went, he admits that it was he was probably taken for a ride and given bad information. So you think about the interview. If you think about the interview, why do you think I really had nothing to say? It was very odd, you know, and because, I mean, he expressed most of that before I can even get the first question off. So that's usually the kind of thing that you pull out of a person after about 25 minutes of working your way around a conversation. Okay, you find a doubt, you find doubts in a person. You find inner frustrations with something. Strong points that they present. Inconsistencies that they present. They're both very important. Okay? And then the audience can go home at the end and take whatever the hell they want away with themselves and assess from there. But that's what we led with. You know, that's the big story. You talk about gotcha moments. It's almost like the thing that got me was it almost like David did a gotcha moment interview with himself without me even being a part of it all. You know, when someone makes big claims that they themselves have seen indictments that we've only read about in rumors, then you want to be able to talk to them and say get a little bit more about the information, because perhaps they are wrong. Perhaps they are pulling our legs or ingratiating a little bit, or maybe they're telling the truth. He just came out and just reversed everything. So, I mean, that's what it came down to for me. So as far as credibility goes, did you miss the big story? The big story was we didn't even have to do any work. It was very odd, and it left me with an empty feeling, because it took a lot of the mystery out of what we were dealing with there. And in fact, it was actually a real downer. I know that he backpedaled a little bit and said that he hasn't lost complete faith in the president and complete faith in the drive for good people to try to make corrections in what is a real fucker of a situation. In a deep entangling web, you know, there's that. So very interesting. But I do not share the pessimism, and I do believe that truth is somewhere in the middle, as I always do. You know, I would rather be, I don't know if I would rather be the person saying no to everything and be proven wrong. Why? Just because you don't want to face the pain? That's almost like the person that says the best way to avoid heartbreak is to never fall in love. But then on the other hand, you don't want to be this pie in the sky person who takes everything gullible. Just, you know, the whole every day is the rapture date, and you're waiting around so long, waiting for whatever, instead of going out there and living life. That's the other part about it. That's why you need a level-headed view. Because you can't occupy yourself with doom and gloom, and you can't occupy yourself with the Savior's coming, because if that's all you occupy yourself with, then you have no time to live. And that sucks. That's ridiculous. I need time to live, as I say here, as I snuck away again at 11:30 to amend some thoughts. But before I get off, I want to read some questions from the audience. Where are they? From earlier on that I wasn't able to get around to. So I felt bad, especially going on that tomorrow is going to be a day off. You see, I tell you, all you guys on Patreon and people who put in the super chats, you have no clue. Always on my mind. Always working my ass off. Take the money and run? I do not. I let the money anchor me down. This will be my next problem. That'll be my next problem. Too much money. Because I feel too guilty living. That'll be it. I feel too guilty using any bit of the money to enjoy life. So I'll just stay the rest of my days inside the studio. That'll be the next problem I have. You see, it never ends. Okay, let me get to the end here. First question is from Todd Clanton. Todd Clanton says, "Hey, Frank, how's it going? Awesome week. Personal question for the week. I have two youngest brothers, and although..." Hold on one second. I had one thing that I know I wanted to put up here. There you go. "I have two younger brothers, and although we are all extremely close, we have some epic fights. Sometimes I've had to come down with the people's elbow, if you know what I mean. I know you and your brother are close as well, so if you had any epic, memorable fights that you would like to share with your fans, just brotherly good times. Later, man." Well, my brother and I actually we've gotten into plenty of fights, but we've never punched each other in the face. We've never actually had a fist fight. You know, when we were younger, it was the best shot you could to a shoulder, maybe about 15 shots to the same shoulder. It was about inflicting pain and getting your frustration out, but you never actually really wanted to go for the gusto and punch somebody in the face. I could never do that. It would haunt me for the rest of my life. And I'm sure it would just because of the damage. It's irreversible damage, especially at this point. I would never want to do that. I've wanted to plenty of times, and I'm sure he's wanted to shoot me, just skip over the gun and actually just kill me. Wait, skip over the fist and just kill me. See, I think that my brother and I were more memorable for strangling each other. And that would happen anywhere. Christmas morning. I remember one morning I got a Nirvana album and Anthony got Metallica's Kill 'Em All. I think I got In Utero or Bleach and Anthony got Kill 'Em All. And I just thought that in the hierarchy of CDs, I wanted that one better. And it didn't. We were strangling each other in half open presents on the floor and everybody screaming. And it was always a strangling. All right, moving on. Heather Curry and Wendy Mahoney both had this. They both shared similar sentiments on this question. "Frank, what do you think happened to all the video incriminating evidence on Wiener's laptop? Will it be ever exposed? Do you remember when Giuliani and Eric Prince came out and said that there was a terrible things going on that incriminated the Clintons? Maybe it disappeared in the plea deal." Well, I don't know about plea deals, and I don't know. Are we ever going to see anything? I don't know. If it was anything that was going to make a police captain cry, I don't think so. I don't think so. There's a little bit more here. "I hear people say that it'll destroy the government and cause a revolution if it's exposed. I think it's just the opposite. I think we need to bring this corruption to light wherever it is so that things are less likely to happen. It's only the way that people will ever be seen for who they are. What do you think? I'm really tired of being told I can't handle the truth." Truth is very ugly. What if the truth is so ugly that you'll lose sleep for years? What if you know you can smell shit? You can smell shit, but you don't actually have to face it. You can still clean it up. What if you can actually preserve a little bit of that innocence of society and still be able to heal? What if there's a better way around it? Except, I mean, it's not even like you're exposing what's under the Band-Aid. It's like an abscess. It's like Mickey Mantle's hip. Jessica Bishop asks, "Earlier this week you had mentioned, although a movie buff, there are certain classics you haven't seen. I love Fleckus Talks, but recently on Twitter he said he had never seen The Sandlot. If that is true, I'm very, very disappointed in Fleckus. So I have to ask, has Coach Frank seen The Sandlot? If yes, favorite scene?" Yes, Coach Frank has seen The Sandlot many times, and this is not even a question. There are many iconic scenes in The Sandlot, but the one that is better than every last one, I mean, it's a standalone of scenes of 90s kids films that are still appropriate for adults. I mean, it's just awesome. And that is the 4th of July fireworks scene. Ray Charles. Oh, playing baseball under the lights of the fireworks on 4th of July with Ray Charles singing. Okay, and damn, that's just it. So there you go. Fact Finder says, I've got one for you that's sort of creeping me out. You remember Trump's speech when he announced the Syria bombing? His eyes looked really weird, almost as if they were black. All this demon stuff we've been talking about, do you think that they have come the way of mind controlling whoever is in the White House? I don't know. I wouldn't put anything past anybody. All I do know, and I didn't see the black eye, Trump. I didn't see the black eyes, Trump. I'll go back and send me a link so I can take it out, take a look at it. But I will say this. When I read this question from FactFinder, this is the first thing that came to mind.
Okay. All right. Tell me about your dream.
Okay. I'm asleep. I hear a baby crying. I go to the refrigerator. I get him a bottle of milk. I bring the bottle of milk to him. I see the milk is black.
That's fucking weird.
All right. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Sorry.
Whenever I hear something like black something, black eyes, he's black milk, I always think of that. And look at this, it's black. That's fucking weird with jelly in the back. Let's watch that one more time.
Okay, all right, tell me about your dream.
This
okay.
is when Robert De Niro was amazing. I loved him.
I hear a baby crying. I go to the refrigerator. I get him a bottle of milk. I bring the bottle of milk to him. I see the milk is black.
That's fucking weird.
All right, get out of here. Get out of here.
This is, that's pretty much where the internet will take you. Everything is a real headache. Everything's a real headache. That's fucking weird. From now on, that's what I'm just saying. It's one of those ESPN things. So there you go. So I got all those questions out of the way. Well, that's all I got to say. I wanted to come on and talk a little bit about that because I know there's a lot of talk about credibility. Well, you just got to know this. I have been doing this a long time, even though I've been doing it on a small scale. I've been doing it a long time. I've forced myself to have many conversations. I know how to walk a tightrope. You got to talk to different people, okay? All I'm going to say is from now on, just keep remembering, let go, let go. Just judge the conversation. Call in and throw the hammer down. I always take calls from people, you know? Always do it. 11:42. Am I signed in anywhere? I'll take two calls. How about that? Two calls. And you're going to have to... Let me put something on while I do this. Oh, here we go. While I sign into Skype... Get your thoughts together. You have 1 minute each call. We have to get it out there because I have to go to bed. What are you kidding me? I have to take my mother to the doctor tomorrow. She asked me to give her a ride. The native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute. Something's wrong. Okay, I am on Skype. I'm on Skype. 914-595-6953 or, quite frankly, podcast. Just use your Skype. Let's take this one. 720, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Who's this?
You just got to jump right in, right?
Oh, yeah,
jump
yeah.
Jump right in.
Well, who's this? Well, yeah, look, take your coat off for a second.
It's Bacon.
Oh, what's going on, Bacon? Well, yeah, jump right in.
That's fucking weird.
That's fucking weird.
Well, you're on quite a roll for today. I mean, that whole David Seaman episode was just wonderful.
I honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to leave it just alone on its own until Wednesday, though. I don't think I would have been able to capture the same energy if I was more detached from it.
There you go.
Go ahead.
It's improv, dude. It's spontaneous improv. You work with the energies now instead of like planning the system. The system's been planned around you. It's our cultural indoctrination. That's why I love David, because when I get to David, David's this old Colorado stoner, and he's really well connected now in Washington. And I gotta get him some better people to meet up with. But he's almost at that stage that I was at a couple of weeks ago, and I called your show and I told you my little secret. Do you remember my little secret?
That you fired the government a long time ago?
There you go.
You fired them a long time ago.
You know, do you believe me?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. And that's and as far as energy goes, yeah, I knew that. I knew that with what I needed to tidy up and what I needed to tie up. If I did this tomorrow afternoon in broad daylight, it would be like, I don't know.
You're going to be able to recapture it again, because you know, if we end up talking tomorrow, I'll show you how to recoup it and redirect it and fortify it and you know, this is a time of reclamation. I threw the top kabuki theater puppet, the guy with the hair, I threw him out on the blockchain just to prove that I did it years before. I mean, I was done with this stuff years before, but like people are like, prove it, because you know, everybody runs off this belief system. We're down here in the make-believe world of La La Land. It's like, do you trust him? Do you believe it? What does it matter? You're supposed to go off your own discernment. So yeah. You were kicking ass earlier, and you know, explaining that. You guys, Rob put it really well. You're like a tumbleweed blowing in the wind if you're just believing all the shit everybody else is blowing, right?
Yeah, you got it. That's it. You got to head down and hit it into the sandstorm. But dude, yeah, definitely. We are going to talk tomorrow. I'm glad you got to squeeze in the first call tonight. Thanks again,
awesome.
Frank.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
Talk to you later.
See you soon. Let's see. Oh, the Set the Charge. One of my favorite songs. This is a fun one to record. Let's take a call from Shadow Scoundrel. What is going on, Shadow Scoundrel?
Hey, how's it going, Frank? Is my mic a little bit better? I think I might have found out the reason why I was so damn quiet.
No, you're still pretty distant.
Never mind.
Yeah. But dude, that Batman opening you were a part of, that is just amazing.
I love it, man.
No, thank you for that. It's great to have you in on a commercial. That's awesome.
Dude, I fucking loved it, man. I just wish my mic wasn't complete trash.
Well, it wasn't trash for that recording. It came through nice and clear.
Nice. All right. So, a couple of things. First off, you know how you got a bunch of people who are like, what the fuck, man? Why'd you bring them on here? And the thing, I have to respond to that first before going into what I wanted to talk about.
Well, whatever you do, say it louder.
Last show. Why the hell are you guys trying to get him knocked off? Like, I don't agree with his views whatsoever, but we're trying to fight for our, like, being able to speak in the first place. You got Twitter taking us down, we got YouTube taking us down, Facebook taking us down, and we're like, hey, let's censor that guy. And it's just like, no, stop it.
Thank you. I think it's good. And just to be fair, the people who expressed concerns, they did so with reservation. And I know that they, you know, the way that they expressed their concerns, some of them were also really just, they were concerned for the show. They thought that it might
right.
damage the show. I just want to give people reassurances that the only reason why this show has trickled into people's lives as steadily as it has is because this is what it's been doing from the beginning. So I just want to assure people to just relax and enjoy the ride. Nobody said you're going to approve of everything you hear, because I mean, I don't. I just have to, I don't know. It's like I'm a conductor over here.
Absolutely, man. All right. So the thing I wanted to talk about from the last stream is, first off, from over here in the potentially future state of Jefferson, if we ever get the damn votes in.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Another Republican state. schools around here are getting bomb threats from outside the country.
Outside the country?
Yeah. We're getting bomb threats from traced outside the country. So we're wondering, what the hell is that all about? Has that been going on to anybody else? Like, is that just here?
No, I mean, every once in a while you hear about a kid locally who called in a bomb threat to the high school or something like that. But I mean, that's
right. But this is like every other day.
That there's nothing like that over here.
Okay, so that there's also, like, I also agree with one of the viewers that like talked up here, which is like, it's not going to be like instant because we put Trump into the White House. It's Trump versus the swamp. It's not going to be instantaneous like gratitude. It's going to be taking a shit ton of time.
Absolutely.
I still have hope in Trump. By the way, are you going to ever let people call you in by Discord, or is it going to be Skype?
I was talking about that with Abe. I want to try to find a way to incorporate the Discord a little bit more. So, yeah, that's definitely on the menu. And thanks for the call, Shadow Scoundrel.
Abso-fucking-lutely, man.
All right, brother man. Talk to you soon. All right, guys. So that's it for tonight. On that point, On that point, just real quick, what the hell did he just say? Shit. Oh, damn it. Hold on a second. I'm calling Shadow Scoundrel back. I still have his number over here. This is awful. This is because I'm tired. I'm overly tired. Shadow Scoundrel. Shadow? Mr. Shadow.
Damn. The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Bullshit. Well, he said something, and I was going to say something else. But that's not going to happen. What was the last thing he said? Here's Shadow Scoundrel. Yo, man, what was the last thing you said?
Oh, the last thing I said?
Yeah, it was the bombing. What would you say right after you talking about the bombings?
It's going to take a long-ass time
That's
for
it.
Trump
That's
to, get
it.
It, like, to get all the stuff done. Like,
absolutely.
It's one guy versus the swamp. It's not going to be instantaneous.
Thank you for that, my friend. So that's pretty much where I wanted to leave you guys. Remember, in other words, for the same exact reason, for the same exact reason you would tell somebody, why are you freaking out about Trump? Like he's going to be here forever. Why aren't you freaking out about Chuck Schumer or Dianne Feinstein, people racking up decades in Congress? Why aren't you worried about them, people racking up decades? Okay? John McCain, decades. Even if you don't like Trump, it's only maximum 8 years. And really, what can be done in even 8 years? The whole point here is that we had the wrecking ball pierce through the brick wall. That's it. It's up to us now to keep cleaning things up and keep improving the dialogue and keep improving the arguments that we're giving in response to what's going on around us. Trump is not our janitor. He's not going to come in, make things right, walk away, and what? What's going to be healed? The mindset. Between the ears is where the problem is. Between the ears. Okay? So, cheer on the good things. Stay firm and don't give any credence to the bad things. And be flexible. Like Thomas Jefferson said, in matters of principle... No. Yeah, in matters of principle, stand like a rock. And in matters of style, go with the current, swim with the current. Hold on, let me see here. In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. So that's it. Just know what you have to stand like a rock. Everything else is going to require us. It's not one president. So please, please, for Trump lovers and haters, stop putting so much on his shoulders. Dude. All right, we'll see you guys soon. Thanks a lot. Let's do this one more time. Ready?
Go ahead, Watchtower.
This is the Joker speaking. You're tuned in, quite frankly. When you see the ants, remove your pants.